The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth. And if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New details about the Iran-backed militants the U.S. says is behind the drone strike that killed three American service members and injured dozens of others in Jordan. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby.
The attack in Jordan was planned, resourced, and facilitated by an umbrella group called the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, which contains multiple groups, including Kitab Hezbollah.
The White House says the U.S. will strike multiple targets over several days in response to that drone attack. Federal prosecutors have charged a woman passenger on board a Frontier Airlines flight from Orlando to Philadelphia of assault, interference with the flight, and indecent exposure. Attendants in the complaint say suspect Dulce Huertas took off her pants after being told she could not use the restroom at that time. The Federal Reserve Board leaving interest rates unchanged for now, saying the overall economy is making progress to lower inflation, but it will take more time to ensure a soft landing. This is ABC News. Wichita police say they have not found the people responsible for last week's theft of a statue honoring baseball legend and civil rights hero Jackie Robinson, but they have found the statue.
This is Jim Ryan. Broken, twisted, tossed into a trash bin and set on fire, the original Jackie Robinson statue cannot be saved. Bob Lutz heads the nonprofit that paid for it.
Obviously, this is not the result we wanted, but it is a result.
As police look for the thieves, a GoFundMe account has collected over $100,000. And Wichita City Councilman Brandon Johnson says,
that symbol of hope will only be gone for a short time.
A new bronze statue using the mold from the first one could be standing by April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day in the major leagues. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Costco's return policy getting a lot of attention. That policy so generous that a woman was able to return her 2-year-old couch without a receipt. She got a full refund thanks to Costco's 100% satisfaction guarantee policy. She didn't like the color anymore. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Ayling. I'm Raymond Newport. A review has been completed into the death of a Milwaukee woman who called 911. Bob Haig has more.
Curtis Ambulance Service paramedics who did not get out of their truck to look for a woman who'd fallen at a Milwaukee bus stop 2 weeks ago will face no discipline. James Baker is Curtis Ambulance president.
The first ambulance got there within 4 minutes. There was no patient found. When the patient was found by somebody else, there was an immediate response, again, within 6 minutes, by the fire department, and they ended up resuscitating the patient. unsuccessfully.
49-year-old Jolene Waldreff, whose body was obscured by a snowbank, died of hypothermia. Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky called Waldreff's death a horrible situation, but said a review didn't find that crews from Curtis or his department acted improperly.
As expected, Governor Tony Evers has vetoed Republican-drawn legislative maps that were passed this week. Governor Evers posted to social media following that veto.
Wisconsinites deserve maps that are fair, responsive, and reflect the will of the people. And my promise to the people of Wisconsin is that I will always fight for fair maps. I will not accept anything less.
Those maps drawn up by Republicans in the legislature last week would have avoided pitting many of their members against one another in redrawn districts. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss chided the governor, saying that the maps would have given Democrats 99% of what they proposed. Madison police are investigating a shooting at the Easttown Mall from Tuesday night. Officers were called out about 9 p.m. to the area after people reported being shot at. Police say they found evidence of a shooting, but no damage to any property or any injuries reported. Police say that they know that the victims and the suspects in the case know each other, and there's no danger to the public. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Under a mix of clouds and sunshine, becoming even more abundant as high temperatures attempt to break records and soar to the low 50s. Enjoy this unseasonable warmth and keep in mind we could see some areas of fog building back in overnight. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 51 degrees.
As we talk about issues impacting rural America, we have a great show on tap for you here today. We're going to talk about farm bill appropriations, where things stand, also some new money being announced for a great partnership with North Dakota State University and Grand Farm. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven going to join us for a conversation coming up here in segment two today. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with Michael Dykes, president and CEO of the International Dairy Foods Association. They just wrapped up their dairy forum in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to get some updates on that and talk dairy issues coming up here with Michael Dykes a little bit later on in the show. And we're going to wrap up. We're going to talk with Diane Curley. She is the Senior Vice President of U.S. Apple. We're going to talk ag labor with her coming up at the end of the show today. First up, though, let's take a look at what is happening in these markets as we are at the end of the month of January. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, joins us here on AOA. Mike, always good to talk with you. And you know, interesting markets here as we near the end of the month. We start the week on Monday with a down day. Then we come back on Tuesday and have the old turnaround Tuesday. I guess I'm just wondering, you know, what could this direction of this market be here as we head into the month of February, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, to go from a price action in March beans with hitting new two-year lows, Jesse, and then seeing the recovery in prices and seeing March close back up above 1220 the following day, in seeing that break to the downside on Monday was being led by the idea that trade reports are out there. We're seeing Brazilian beans head to the United States southeast coast to the feed mills. Some quoting three loads, some quoting that's going to be $1.30 underneath the March futures as for price. To be able to offset that and close Monday like we did and then come back Tuesday and turn things around so sharply, I think the thing that had to do it was not technicals. I don't think it was short covering just because we hit a certain price level. I think it was fundamental. And, you know, as we talked about before, I really think the negativity in the trade resulting from China's economic weakness and the fear of commodity deflation and them exporting this deflation out into the rest of the world in 2024 came to a screeching halt, I think, on Tuesday when the IMF came out with a surprise increase in their outlook for China and their growth going up 0.4 percentage point to 4.6% for 2024. That to me was a stunner. And it seemed like to me the markets that kicked off the recovery on Tuesday early on were copper, soy, and hogs. And I think those three really have a strong element of China in terms of influence on the prices.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because that was a very stunning type of number. You know, I think back to just over the weekend with that news of Evergrande having to liquidate all their assets, the giant real estate entity in China. Things, you know, look doom and gloom. And then we get a signal like this. It just, I guess it gives me some confusing signals in terms of how the health of China's economy really is right now.
Yeah, and I think if you're in the economic world, you in finance world, and you know about China's economy and how it operates and it being a command economy, you have to recognize, in my opinion, there is a good theme about them acknowledging Evergrande. It's been a year plus that Evergrande's been on, been on the books. That is a big issue. Well, they're wiping it off the books or letting it liquidate. And to me, that's the beginning of the end of the negativity. And China, A, recognizes their problem, and B, they're doing something about it. And so there is weather out there, Jesse. I don't want to short play or downplay the weather side of the equation. Argentina, Paraguay, very important this year because they're supposed to make up a lot of the losses for Brazil's production shortfall if we see a pretty decent one, which I think we will. And it looks like those areas are looking drier in next week. And I think that did get some press as well and probably caught in the marketplace as well. But I don't know if it would have had it not been for the macro side of the equation.
I know we have a lot of U.S. economic data out this week, too. We've gotten stuff already like housing and the jobs report, the JOLTS report. The Fed's going to wrap up their two-day meeting on Wednesday. Don't expect any monetary policy changes. It sounds like folks are waiting until, thinking March is what they'll wait to in order to make any sort of maybe rate cuts. But again, a lot of U.S. economic data this week that seems to be in this marketplace and maybe a headwind a little bit, Mike?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you really need from the Federal Reserve on Wednesday them reinforcing their neutral bias right now. And I think you're 100% right. March or even April, May may be the first time we actually see cuts. But the recent economic data would suggest pretty strongly to me, Jesse, they need to reinforce a neutral bias because they don't need to raise rates at this point. But the end of the month is also on Wednesday. And obviously we have that biannual cattle report, but the big deal for me is how the charts look as we close out the month. And I'll just say it very bluntly. To me, a lot is riding on how we look the next week, 2 weeks in terms of putting a quote China low in the market and getting away from this mindset of a U.S. weak U.S. demand base and weak world demand, and that's softening up because the exporting of deflation that China is going to do. We need to put that thing to bed and that fundamental factor and bring back the markets in the form of getting out of making record high U.S. stock market moves, moving that money back into emerging markets, starting with China.
Well, to wrap up here, Mike, as you look at these markets and analyze things, do we bury our head in the sand here, or do we try to reward a little bit of some of this rally that we saw on Tuesday, for instance, in these markets? I mean, what do you think? What do you want folks to remember this week?
Yeah, I mean, I hit the trigger of taking out the Jan report lows and soybeans. I recommended buying puts, either March or May puts. Get a floor underneath you. You don't need to do any cash sales on depressed prices, in my opinion, this early in the year unless you need cash flow. If you need cash flow, I'd recommend looking at the soy because at the end of the day, we're still $75 a ton or $2 a bushel under in Paraguay. Paranagua in Brazil than here at the U.S. Gulf. So we are still $2 too expensive at the Gulf of Mexico, and we've got to wait for the February WASD report to see some adjustments for the market to really buy into a tighter crop in South America, if you ask me, Jesse.
Well, we're getting up against the clock. Good thoughts as always. Mike, if folks want to reach out to you, get some market advice, have a conversation, I know they can find you very easily. How can they reach you, Mike?
GlobalComResearch.com is the best place. It's GlobalCom with two M's, research.com, or call me toll-free, 866-471-2588.
Well, Mike, always appreciate the time and the insight. Very valuable stuff. Thanks for joining us here on AOA again this week, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, sir, for having me, Jesse.
Once again, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Great stuff there. Again, find him online, as he said, GlobalCom with two M's, research.com. That's GlobalComResearch.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about new funding announced, a pretty big funding announcement for NDSU, Grand Farm, and others in North Dakota. That's going to look at ag research. Also, we're going to get an update on Farm Bill and appropriations discussions on Capitol Hill. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven joins us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming.
Heading to NCBA's Cattle Convention? On Friday, February 2nd, stop by USMEF booth 1807 with me, Jesse Allen. We'll be broadcasting AOA live with our friends from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Stop by from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern to learn how these organizations work together to competitively position American product as the sustainable, high-quality, premier product of choice. And don't forget to join NCGA on Thursday at 2:30 for their Learning Lounge. We'll see you in Orlando.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Scranton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products. Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products and the answers that work.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on AOA, Agriculture of America, pleased to have with us North Dakota Senator John Hoeven. And Senator, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for the time, and let's jump right in. Some very exciting funding announced on Monday for North Dakota State University and Grand Farm, their partnership. We're looking at ag technology research and development, getting up to $160 million over 10 years. This is really exciting stuff. Can you talk about this a little bit for us, Senator?
Yeah, it is exciting. It's in conjunction with the NSF, which is a National Science Foundation.
And essentially what we put together is it's the North Dakota Advanced Agricultural Tech Engine. FARMS is the acronym that we're using. But as you say, it's really a partnership between NDSU and all the great research they do, as well as Grand Farms. And it's also got the support of the Fargo, West Fargo-Moorhead Chamber and the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development Corp. And now the tribal colleges have just been added as well. But really, there's about 75-plus various partners throughout the state who will be working along with it. And as you said, it's $15 million that they've been awarded now, and it could be up to $160 million over the next 10 years. And so it's a big project that will leverage a lot of other funds that will have, you know, mainline partners tied into it that we've been working with, everybody from companies like John Deere and AGCO to various tech companies. And so it really reflects, you know, NDSU's leadership in precision agriculture, in ag research, and really, you know, all of the different things that are so vital on behalf of America's great farmers and ranchers.
Well, and I think about this too, just the explosion in ag technology and the growth in precision agriculture and NDSU being a leader in that. This is an area here throughout agriculture, Senator, that is an area that just continues to grow and expand. And things like this, more research, more development, trying to make farmers and ranchers' lives that much easier with utilizing all this great technology. It's so important here in 2024, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, because, I mean, our farmers and ranchers are very advanced in all the technology they use, whether it's growing crops or raising animals. And that's enabled them to be so much more productive. It's enabled us to grow a lot more crops and do so, you know, on a basis where they can actually be competitive in global market. And so that leadership is vitally important that we continue to have that at NDSU in outreach and in ag research. And the other thing is, not only are they educating these great young people to be the farmers of the future, but all these ties in with the tech park and, you know, with obviously with Grand Farm, the as you said, the precision ag technology and these companies, and we've got them all. I mean, all of these big time ag related companies now are partnering with us on these things, and they're putting a lot of funding into these things that we're doing as well. All that's going to translate, you know, into more productivity and making sure that our farmers and ranchers stay ahead of the game.
Senator Hovind, let's switch gears a little bit here. I know you're the ranking member on the Senate Ag Appropriations Committee, and we are obviously wondering where appropriations currently stand. We know we have another continuing resolution happened. We have deadlines now in March here on Capitol Hill trying to get this government funded and get things figured out as we're well into the fiscal year now. Where do things stand in terms of the appropriations process? Can you give us any updates there?
Well, we've moved our ag bill. I mean, first off, we've moved all the appropriations bills in the Senate through the full Appropriations Committee on a bipartisan basis. They're ready and waiting to go. As far as the floor, we've moved our ag bill across the floor as well, and that has really strong provisions for ag research, including for here, ag research here at NDSU and other things that relate to what we were just talking about. But the key is that the rest of the bills get moved on the Senate floor, and that's something that Senator Schumer, you know, we're pushing on them to go get them done and get in conference with the House. As you're probably aware, the current funding resolution goes through about March 8th. So, you know, we're pushing to get after it and get it done and find ways to fund things that we should, like we're talking about in the ag world, and also find ways to reduce spending and savings where we can to help address this budget deficit.
I know there's been some talk that Senator Schumer wants to try and move all the appropriations bills under one big bill rather than voting on individual appropriations bills. And I know some folks are not happy with that. But in terms of time at this point, is there really any chance to try and vote on some of these appropriations bills separately, or is it going to have to be one giant omnibus type bill?
Well, that's why we're pushing on them to get our bills to the floor. And, you know, we don't want to have one bill. We need to go through regular order, which is where these bills get to the floor. And like you say, hopefully that helps get a better product in terms of funding priorities and finding savings. And so, yeah, he's been slow about it, and we're pushing on him. And we should be doing it through regular order, not through one big bill. And that's what we're trying to accomplish, is getting these bills to the floor individually or, you know, maybe grouped in a couple at a time, but not one big bill.
Now, of course, once we get appropriations done, there's other things such as a farm bill that need to get done. I know there's been quite a bit of back and forth here just in the last few weeks, it seems, in both the Senate and the House between Republicans and Democrats in terms of some of the farm bill priorities, a little bit of, discussion between farm versus nutrition, of course, which is, I feel like that happens a lot. Your thoughts on the potential of getting a new farm bill done here after we can get through appropriations potentially in the next few months?
Well, as you know, we have a one-year extension in place. I think that's important so there's no uncertainty out there for our farmers and ranchers, and we're adamant about that. And really the holdup is, at least in my view, is that we've not gotten to where we need to in terms of strengthening crop insurance, making improvements to crop insurance, assisting with the cost of buying up to a higher level so that our farmers can cover their crop at a higher level more affordably. And then the other thing is updating our and PLC. Those reference prices need to be updated. And those two things have to happen, in my view, before we'll pass a farm bill. And because, some of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle were balking at that, and they always want to push everything into the nutrition programs. And we're fine with, making sure people who need help as far as nutrition get it, but there should also be work requirements. And we've got to fund the ARC PLC and the crop insurance properly, update them properly. And until they do, we're not going to get a farm bill. So that's why we put the one-year extension in place. I'm hopeful we can get it done, but it's got to get done right.
I know as well, Senator Hovind. Well, one more thing before we let you go. I think in terms of everything that's kind of going on right now, the back and forth and just some of the climate in our country, I think there's a lot of folks, not only farmers and ranchers, but just the general public that are maybe a little frustrated with how things have been going in terms of the appropriations battle or for farmers maybe trying to get this farm bill done, et cetera. And I don't think it matters if there's an R or a D in front of someone's name. It's just, I think a lot of folks are just frustrated right now. Are you getting some of that sentiment when you talk with your constituents there in North Dakota? Is there a growing frustration amongst the American people?
Well, certainly on things like the border, I'm very frustrated by myself. This administration needs to shut it down, and they got the tools to do it, and we're all over them to keep pushing to get it done. In the case of the farm bill, again, we put that extension in place to make sure our guys, our farmers and ranchers don't face any uncertainty for this next year. But really, when I talk to them, they want me to fight for the things that I just described to you. It's more important that we get those right than we get this done soon. And our farmers provide the highest quality, lowest cost food supply to every single American, that's ever existed. Not only that, but Americans spend less of their budget, on food. And so the whole point is our farmers and ranchers are getting that done for them. We better make sure that we continue to have the right kind of farm policy because it benefits every single American every single day. And that's what I'm fighting for. So to me, at the end of the day, it's about making darn sure we get a good farm bill for our producers.
Well, great thoughts, and do appreciate the time with that. North Dakota Senator John Hovind. Senator, thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America today. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Good to visit with you.
And once again, appreciate the time. North Dakota Senator John Hovind joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next, we are going to recap the recent dairy forum that was held in Phoenix, Arizona, and talk dairy issues with Michael Dykes from the International Dairy Foods Association. He joins us next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Later, Wall Street wants to pivot to lower interest rates. It's betting that the first cut will come in May, if not in March. Now, the more dovish members of the FOMC are no doubt making an argument for such in today's meeting. However, the more hawkish members are arguing that sticky wage inflation and rising house prices are working against getting the overall inflation rate down to 2% as soon as they would like. That's suggesting they should hold the rates where they're at for longer to make sure that that happens. You're listening to AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Richard Ristvedt.
This year, every plate is serving up their most sizzling deal yet. $1 steak every single week. Not only can you dig into 10 ounces of delicious steak for just a dollar, but you can enjoy every plate's other tasty meals for just $1.49 each. Whether you're resolving to save money or just want to enjoy every bite in 2024, America's Best Value Meal Kit has you covered. Get started with $1 steak every week and meals for $1.49 each with code DCS49 at everyplate.com. Everyplate.com.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com.
Jim was at the laundromat when he heard, his ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing." You could call them scent Maracas, but most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
You took the first step and quit smoking,
But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
How things went this year?
Outstanding. It was over 1,000 dairy industry leaders. The place was so full of optimism. It was a buzz with enthusiasm. When you stepped out the elevators, you could hear the buzz from coming the hallways and the bar. It was phenomenal. I've had many, many positive comments. The sessions, people enjoyed the sessions. There's just the comments were just overwhelmingly positive. It was so good to see the industry come together. We had dairy farmers there. We had boards of directors from the farmer-owned cooperatives. We had leaders from all the major dairy processors. We had the suppliers, supporters of the industry. We had universities. We had economic development agencies from the states looking to attract more dairy. We had our next-gen leaders, next-gen alumni there highlighted. We did a focus on women in dairy, and we released a new report on women in dairy. It was just phenomenal.
Well, I know a lot of awards were handed out as well during Dairy Forum this year, as you guys do every year with the forum. And I know, folks, a lot of this, the awards and more of the news, IDFA.org, they could find it. I'd love your perspective, though, Michael. What were some of the hot topics that you heard? You know, you mentioned the buzz that was out there in the hallways and during the sessions. What were some of the big things that were talked about amongst folks, or what were some of the favorite highlights potentially from some of those sessions? Talk about that a little bit for us.
Well, I want to touch just 1 second on awards. We did the very first ever Workplace of the Year Award. We're putting an emphasis on people as the number one concern for our members. So we did the inaugural IDFA Workplace of the Year Award, went to Schreiber Foods, outstanding company, doing some phenomenal progressive things with workforce to attract and retain the best and the brightest. The Innovative Farmer of the Year went to Bateman Family Farms in Utah. Absolutely mind-boggling the things they're doing on the farm and the efficiency of their farm. The biggest things, Jesse, that I saw was probably I had one slide that had the investments that we're aware of. We're talking over $7 billion in investments in dairy processing. There's a level of enthusiasm across our industry that's just absolutely amazing. A lot of discussion about the number one priority of people. Sustainability has moved up. This was the fifth year that McKinsey's done a survey of our executives. Sustainability's moved up into the rankings, I think, from 6th to number 3 on their list of priorities. A lot of discussion on trade. Where's our 20 billion pounds predicted by USDA by 2030? Where's that additional 20 billion pounds going to go? And then we had a lot of discussion around regaining or reclaiming the halo for dairy. Probably one of the most influential pieces of that that's underreported has been the Add Milk campaign that we've been doing for the last, well, since the 2018 Farm Bill. We've had $9 million appropriated for that. The last awards went to Auburn University Hunger Solutions. We will be in over 700 stores in 19 states. Buy milk and you get double your bucks back as an incentive to purchase additional products for SNAP recipients, which is 43 million Americans. So those were some of the things. Evolution, growth, a new vision for dairy, becoming the world's dominant supplier of dairy products, finding value all over the place, making spirits out of our way, making ethanol out of our way, additional fractions that capitalizing on for health and wellness, capitalizing on the protein profile of dairy. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on, Jesse. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, a couple things you mentioned in there as well. I think trade is, of course, a hot topic throughout agriculture. I know you had a breakfast address during Dairy Forum and kind of touched on that a little bit. I know Doug McCaleb, the Biden administration's chief ag negotiator, spoke at the Dairy Forum as well. Talk to me a little bit about just some of the trade agenda and how dairy fits into this. And, of course, I know as well, you know, we're into a presidential election year, so can that have some impacts on things? I mean, just give us some of your thoughts on the USTR's trade agenda and your thoughts there right now.
Well, trade, I was so pleased to have Ambassador McCaleb there. He's just an outstanding individual. I've known him for many, many years when he worked at USDA. Very pleased to see him be at USTR and was been very supportive of him being nominated and confirmed for the ambassadorship. You know, we've had, I would say, Jesse, the biggest revelation for food and agriculture has been this year, the first time ever that we've had a negative balance of trade for food and agriculture. The U.S. has had negative balance of trade for many years, but food and agriculture has always boasted of how we export more than we import. And, of course, in the case of dairy, we export twice as much as we import. But for food and ag, this was the first year we imported more than we exported. I think goes to show you kind of where we are with a trade agenda or the lack thereof. We've had no effort to negotiate new trade agreements. Our competitors around the world continue to negotiate new trade agreements. They take several years to negotiate, and then to take an additional several years for them ever be fully implemented, so you get the full benefits of it. So that was the trade. Our farmers, our dairy farmers, are the most efficient in the world. They want to grow, and as again, USDA is projecting forecasting an additional 20 billion pounds of milk by 2030. We're going to need a trade agenda, Jesse. 95% of the consumers live outside the U.S. A third of the world's population lives in India and Africa today. Five of the largest economies will be in Africa. Six of the fastest growing economies in Africa. So we got to diversify. We've got to have a positive trade agenda. Well, regardless who's in the White House.
Exactly. Well, and diversification too, you know, there's been a lot of talk about U.S.-China relations, as I'm sure you are well aware of. And, you know, I think about that. I mean, from a dairy perspective, as with many ag commodities, I know China's still very, very important to our ag markets, isn't it, Michael?
It certainly is. For dairy, China is number three behind Mexico and Canada, one and two. China's number three. Food and agriculture can't afford to totally de-link from China, Jesse. We need time to diversify. We saw the vote in Taiwan recently going to more conservative government. So there's a lot of attention in the world today, geopolitical risk creating more uncertainty. But we must diversify. We got to get into Southeast Asia. We need to figure out a way to get more dairy, U.S. dairy, into India. We need to be thinking about Africa. I think the other thing that I highlighted too, Jesse, we have the most efficient dairy producers in the world. We have, with $7 billion invested, we have the most modern, efficient processing plants in the world. If we have trade agreements, we'll have the quality products. If we have trade agreements, it gives us market access with Europe's farm to fork, where they're probably producing less at a more expensive rate. We have an opportunity to become the world's dominant supplier of dairy products, Jesse.
Michael, real quick before we run out of time, one other topic I just wanted to maybe get a quick update from you on. I haven't heard a whole lot of fresh news surrounding the federal milk marketing order process. I know it's an ongoing process. Is there anything of note you could share on that for us real quick by chance?
Well, it is ongoing. The thought is it will probably end January 31st. I think they're getting down to the final few witnesses to testify. Most people's thoughts are January 31st, it will come to an end. And then we'll probably be late in 2024, early 2025. Farmers will have an opportunity to vote on it. So after the hearing testimony ends, USDA will reflect on all the testimony and come out with any proposed changes to the current federal milk marketing order system that will go to the dairy farmers. And then a very important point here, Jesse, that not everyone's clear on. Farmers across the country will get a chance to vote on the changes, but it will be a vote on the order as amended. So they won't be able to vote just on the changes. So they'll either vote, yes, I want this new order as USDA is proposing to change it, or I want no order at all. And that vote will probably take place in late 24, and then you'll see implementation in Q1, Q2, 25.
Appreciate the clarity and the insight and the update there on the federal milk marketing order situation, where that stands. And we do appreciate the time. Folks can learn more, idfa.org. With that, the president and CEO of the International Dairy Foods Association, Michael Dykes. Michael, thanks for joining us on AOA. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Pleasure all mine. Thank you, Jesse.
Good stuff there with Michael Dykes from IDFA. All right, we'll be back. We'll talk U.S. apples on the way right after this here on AOA.
Times of transition, whether from a sad event or a joyful one, can leave us feeling adrift. Social connections are an important part of a healthy life. Being isolated and lonely can be harmful to your health. It can lead to high blood pressure, a greater risk of heart disease, and early onset dementia. So it's important to build and maintain connections to people, not just in your family, but others whose relationships bring meaning to your life. Trying a new hobby, volunteering, exercising, even using your phone or other device to stay in touch with others. All these can be great ways to keep up your social connections and your physical and mental well-being. Visit connecttoeffect.org to see if you're at risk of social isolation and find ways to get connected. Presented by AARP Foundation with support from United Healthcare.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming.
Heading to NCBA's Cattle Convention? On Friday, February 2nd, stop by USMEF booth 1807 with me, Jesse Allen. We'll be broadcasting AOA live with our friends from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Stop by from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern to learn how these organizations work together to competitively position American product as the sustainable, high-quality, premier product of choice. And don't forget to join NCGA on Thursday at 2:30 for their Learning Lounge. We'll see you in Orlando. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701. 926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Alley.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now on the program to have a conversation about some of U.S. Apple's priorities in 2024. Their Senior Vice President, Diane Curley, is with us here on the show today. Diane, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know top of mind for a lot of folks, Diane, is a farm bill and other issues impacting agriculture here for 2024. And I know one of the main issues for U.S. Apple is ag labor. And this is a hot topic, no doubt, Diane. So why don't we just start there and talk about some of the things you're watching currently with ag labor and why it's a top priority for U.S. Apple this year.
Sure. Well, thank you. Labor is about 60% of the cost of production for apple growers. And so, maintaining a reliable, affordable labor force is incredibly important. And over the years, our members have more and more started to rely on the H-2A guest worker program. When I first started at U.S. Apple 15 or 20 years ago, it's been that long. Most of our members had a domestic workforce who harvested the apples for them and did other jobs throughout the year. And now that domestic workforce just really isn't there anymore in any sort of consistent fashion. And so our members are relying on the H-2A guest worker program, which brings workers mostly from Mexico and Jamaica here on a temporary basis. And it's great once the workers are here, but getting them here is often, it leads to a lot of sleepless nights for our members, I'll put it that way, because there are a lot of administrative hurdles that they have to go through to get the workers here. And if paperwork gets lost on one agency's desk and doesn't make it to the next in time, workers can be delayed. And so it's incredibly administratively burdensome. It's also very expensive. It has a wage rate that's based on a farm labor survey that is not accurate a lot of the time. And so it has a real inflationary aspect to it that just doesn't reflect, market value or market wages. For example, this past year, wages in the Apple states went up by about 7%. Mm-hmm. And the year before, in some states, they went up by 10%. So it's just untenable for our members to keep pace with those kinds of increases. As I said, it's about 60% of the cost of production. And in fact, over the last 3 years, we've seen the cost of growing apples go up by 65%. And in the meantime, prices have not even kept pace with that. In fact, the latest consumer price index shows that apples went down by 9% over last year. So that's a real struggle for our members. And so we've looked to Congress to reform the H-2A program. There was a bipartisan bill that passed the House twice in 2019 and 2021 called the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which we helped to negotiate and strongly support. And that would have brought some stabilization to those wage rates that I was telling you about, putting a cap on the amount that they could increase of about 3.25% per year, mm-hmm. which is more manageable and also allows the growers to be able to predict and plan, which they can't do right now. It would also modernize the H-2A program, which has not been really touched since 1986 when it was first instituted, and a lot has changed since then. And so it would also bring some administrative relief to that program as well. Unfortunately, though, that bill passed the House twice. It did not pass in the Senate. There was a big push at the end of 2022 to make that happen, and it just didn't get across the finish line. So we're back kind of at square one here. And as everyone knows, the current Congress isn't really taking on big issues like ag labor reform right now. So we're trying to do things more strategically and just find any way we can to bring relief for our members.
Yeah, Diane, and you brought up a great point. A lot of tough issues not working their way through Congress right now in the current environment. And I think about the Farm Workforce Modernization Act you mentioned. What would it take at this point, do you think, from what you're hearing on Capitol Hill, to try and get that bill or something very similar through both the House and Senate? Does it even seem like a possibility here this year?
I think we have to look at other avenues at this point for this year. There are still many supporters of our efforts and of that legislation or legislation similar to that in both the House and the Senate. And so that is heartening. But just given the fact that, you know, we seem to be still with another short-term CR and just even getting, you know, 2024 appropriations across the finish line seems to be a difficult task. I think we're, you know, we're looking at other ways to try to help, at least in the short term, even if it's not that longer term.
Now, in terms of a farm bill as well, Diane, obviously that's another big issue. And I know ag labor right there with the farm bill, too. But what about farm bill prospects? What are some things that U.S. Apple is looking for in terms of getting a new farm bill done?
Sure. So U.S. Apple is a founding member of the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance. This is a coalition that was first formed in 2004 because at that time there were no mandatory programs for specialty crops. And specialty crops is basically, you know, think produce is mainly what specialty crops is, you know, not your traditional row crops. And so at that time, the coalition was formed and we really looked for programs that would increase our competitiveness. And so as opposed to more traditional subsidies and that type of thing, we're looking at research dollars and also at dollars that can be used for things like marketing and not just traditional research, but also nutrition research, food safety initiatives, that type of thing. And so during the 2004 Farm Bill debate, we were able to get some new programs included in the Farm Bill that year. The Specialty Crop Research Initiative is one, Specialty Crop Block Grant is another one, as well as some other tweaks and things that are favorable to specialty crops. Since then, with subsequent farm bills, we've been able to build and add on that work from the 2004 Farm Bill. And so that's what we're doing now and really focused on programs, again, that improve competitiveness, research for everything from pests and diseases to new rootstocks, as well as trade is very important to the industry. So, you know, broader programs like the Market Access Program, which allows the apple industry to promote apples overseas in our export markets. And of course, traditional programs like crop insurance are very important to the industry.
Well, Diane, great thoughts. Before we run out of time and let you go here today, anything else final that you would want to add that U.S. Apple is watching here in 2024?
You know, I think really it's the ag labor is probably the biggest thing. And one thing that unfortunately I did not mention that we're also watching with ag labor is regulatory burdens that are being put on our growers. Last year, the Department of Labor instituted some additional changes to the H-2A program, which caused more administrative burdens and costs for users. And just as we're trying to kind of get used to those and figure out how to navigate that, the Department of Labor and the Department of Homeland Security has proposed even more regulatory changes just in September. And so we submitted comments in November, as did literally hundreds of other ag groups and growers across the country. And we're hopeful that the administration will take some of our comments into consideration and maybe, you know, make some adjustments to what they've proposed.
With that, Diane Curley, Senior Vice President at U.S. Apple, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We're out of time. Coming up on our next program, we'll be live from the Cattle Industry Convention in Orlando here on AOA. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy.